Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in an age of instant gratification. You know, it's like the world is running around with two-year-olds. I want it, and I want it now. Our food. Seems like there's a fast food restaurant in about every other street corner in our town. Sexual mores. Want it now. Money. Oh, to win the lottery. I mean, who of us doesn't want to be a multimillionaire? And reason doesn't take precedence here. Chance of winning, 1 in 400 million, but somebody has to win. Why not me? Instant gratification. What has happened to working hard all your life? Dedication. Persistence in effort. Seems like a bygone era, doesn't it? In our text for today, Jesus is talking about prayer, and we want to talk about the importance of persistence in prayer. So where do we start? Well, we start at the get-go, and that's what God has done for us. God has saved us. It's all the work of God. We do nothing to save ourselves. God sent Jesus, his son, into the world to live his life, suffer and die on the cross, be resurrected in order that we might live with him now and for eternity. By grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's all the work of God. But now that God has done this for us and God has saved us, there is something that we are to do, and that is to respond to God's grace and God's love. And one of the ways that we respond is in prayer, to go to God in prayer. Now, how shall we go to God in prayer? What's important is that we be persistent in prayer. And in order to emphasize that fact, Jesus gives not only his own prayer, the Lord's Prayer, but then he tells the parable. And the parable about this man who at midnight receives a guest, but he has no food to give him. And so he goes to a neighbor who is a friend and says, "Oh, I need some bread." And the man says, "Well, you know, I'm in bed, my family's in bed, go away, don't bother me." But he's insistent, keeps knocking at the door. And finally, the man gives his friend the bread, not because he's a friend, but because he's so insistent, or plainly said, because he's such a pain in the neck. He gives him that bread. And then the Old Testament reading about Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham wants these evil cities to be saved. And he says, "No, you know, what if there's only 50 righteous? And then 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Abraham is insistent in prayer that God save these two cities. Persistence in prayer. Now the question is, though, as we hear this, what does that make us feel? How does that make us feel about God? Does that make us a little bit angry? A little bit unsettled? A little bit irritated? I mean, if God is God and God loves us and God wants good for us, then why can't God help us when we ask the first time? Why does God say that we need to come back and knock on the door and knock on the door and make a pest of ourselves until he will finally hear us? That doesn't seem right, does it? Does that maybe bother us a little bit that God would act that way toward us since he loves us? God wants us to be persistent in prayer because we need depth in our relationship with him. Prayer means relationship, and that relationship requires depth in time and experience and persistence. Now I'm going to say that one more time. God wants us to be persistent in prayer because we need depth in our relationship with Him. Prayer means relationship, and that relationship requires depth in time and experience and persistence. So to emphasize that point, let me tell you some stories. There's a man whose friend has died. This man is not a person of faith, never went to church. And so he wants to console this friend's family and relatives and others. But what's he going to say? He doesn't have the resources. He's never been to a funeral in his life. He doesn't know about God and His love. What is he going to say from his experience to comfort those who are experiencing that loss in their lives? He is bereft. He doesn't know what to say. And then there's a woman, an elderly lady. She's been a member of the church for decades. And then one day, suddenly, her husband had a heart attack and died. And there was no time to say goodbye. He just passed away. And she said, you know, it was a terrible event. And yet it is as though I had prepared for that all of my life. I mean, all the times I've gone to church, all the sermons I have heard on death and dying and suffering and loss, it had prepared me for that terrible event when it happened. Her resource was God, and her persistence in prayer enabled her to deal with that situation. Third story, a man and a wife get married. And right after the honeymoon, the man takes off. He's gone for 10 years. And then one day, he shows up at the house, knocks on the door. She answers the door. Honey, I'm home. And she says, who are you? And he said, well, I'm your husband. I mean, we were married. We are married. And she said, I don't know you. I had the marriage annulled. I remarried, have two children now. I don't know who you are. And he says, what have you done? What's our sacred marriage vows? I mean, they're still there. I still love you. She did not know him. You see, that is in a way, some people in their relationship with God, been away so long, not being in prayer or persistent in prayer, and God has become unknown. Another story. There's a lady talking about her gal friend and said, you know, the poor dear, terrible what's happened to her. She had a job for some 20 years and she lost the job. And now she's out of work and she can't pay her bills and she's depressed. She's seen a psychologist. She just doesn't know what to do. You know, it's like she lowered her bucket down into the well to draw up water and resources, and it came up dry. In one's relationship with God, that's the way it is for some people. They let down their bucket, they draw it up, and there's nothing there because God has become so distant. It's like when they pray, they are talking to themselves rather than God. God is so far distant. You know, it's not that God has distanced themselves from Him from them, but they have distanced themselves from God by not being in the Word and sacrament and prayer. We sang before, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, there's something about having a special friend in life. Now, we all have friends. But how great it is to have a special friend. you know, the special friend, that one and only friend that we can say anything to, tell them anything, share things that we will not even share with our spouse. What a great thing it is to have such a special friend. And that's who Jesus is for us. What do we sing in the hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You see, God is our special friend. And he is all available, always available to us, just as that friend in life is. Jesus is always there, always available. We can go to him no matter what the situation, what the time, 24/7. We can always go to Jesus, our special friend. One more story about prayer and being persistent in prayer. And this is a personal story. I was a Navy chaplain for some 25 years. And then when I retired, I took a parish in Yakima, Washington, and was there for 5 years. And after 3.5 years, my wife became ill with leukemia. And a year and a half later, she died. Now, during that time, there were many prayers to God from myself and family and friends and the church and the prayer chain. All of these prayers to God for healing. It didn't happen. Now, somebody outside the realm of faith can look at that and say, you know, what a waste of time and what a waste of effort. I mean, you had all of these prayers, and yet it didn't happen. You know, but what did happen was that all of us grew in faith because of persistent in prayer. We grew in our prayer life and our faith toward God. Myself and family and relatives, the church and friends, knowing that God loved us, would be with us, and do his will among us. As an addendum to that story, after that happened, moved down to Albany, and I thought my life in public ministry and marital life was over. And then with 2 months after she died, I received a call from the church in Monmouth about doing the vacancy, and so I was there for a year. And during that year, I met this gal named Lori. We were later married and been married now for almost 12 years. The point is, when we are persistent in prayer, God can work some surprising things in our lives. Well, is God God? You bet. Does God love us? You bet. Does God want the best for us? You bet. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. By the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, and through persistence in faith, can we see that in our lives? And when we see that in our lives, God can do some very surprising things. In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise now, confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.